And we're going to start in Psalm 119 today, as we wrap up our January series. Psalm 119. We'll be in verse 66. Since it's a couple pages of Psalm 119, give you a little heading there. I've enjoyed this month. I've enjoyed the kickoff to the year of praying it forward. And we looked at the very first Sunday of the year at Teach Us to Pray. And we followed that with different Teach Us or Teach Me sermons. And I've enjoyed going through this. We'll transition next week with another prayer sermon. And then follow up the rest of the month with something tied to that first sermon of the month. And, you know, it's funny, the more you think about prayer, if you do, the more I believe, and especially the more you read about prayer in Scripture, the more you see the power that it holds. And we have to be faithful to pray. If we want progress in life, if we want progress in our family, if we want progress in our church, it's going to take prayer. It's not going to happen unless we pray. And so again, I strongly encourage pray, pray, pray. And each day, find time to pray. And find more than just a minute. Find some time to sit down in a quiet place. I know that's harder for some than others, but a quiet place, and take some time to focus on prayer and seek the things from God that you need. Pray for each other. And the Lord will bless it. I'm looking forward to seeing how throughout the year God will work in our church as a result of the prayer of our prayer lives. But today we're looking at Psalm 119 at verse 66. And the Bible here says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." We've been looking throughout the month at the teach me's and the teach us's and the things like that. And there's a few different, a lot of Psalms, by the way, covers teach me thy statutes. It's consistent throughout the Psalms. But I wanted to conclude the month on this verse, and I think it's a good one. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Let's pray, and then we'll look at it. Lord, thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for your word and what it teaches us. Thank you for people who today chose to come and be here. And Lord, I pray that you would now clear our hearts and minds and allow us to focus in on your word. Lord, help me to present this verse and the things that we look at today clearly and correctly. But Lord, I just seek that you would help us to grow today as a result of you, your spirit, and your word. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Teach me good judgment is kind of the focus of today's message. We need the knowledge as well, as it's included here in the verse. But good judgment is something that we think about a lot more as we grow up. The older we get, the more we think about the importance of good judgment. As kids, we typically start out with poor judgment in most cases. Not every kid, but the large majority of kids start off with poor judgment. And so as we grow, as we mature, we begin to understand good judgment versus bad judgment. And it takes some longer than others, and we've all experienced that if we have a sister or friends or a different place, you know, not us, but everyone else, we understand it takes them time to grow into good judgment. And the older we get, and especially the more mature we get with God, in God's word, and understanding and wisdom and knowledge and those sorts of things, this prayer should hit home. As a prayer, that's something that we should pray. And that's what we really looked at these teach me or teach us verses, is the fact that in our lives, we need to be praying these same prayers. And so the psalmist here says, teach me good judgment and knowledge. The prayer here is a desire for God's word to be more than just religious recitation, abstract dogma, pious head knowledge, but to be more practical in our life. So when we're praying, teach me good judgment, what we're asking God for is make your word, your instruction, your commandments, make them practical in my life so that now I can apply them to my life and do in my life what you desire for me to do. Good judgment is I believe falls right in line with biblical judgment. If we're following the Bible, it's good judgment. And so we see here this prayer of practicality in life. Help me to be practical in my life with your word. And I feel like people like me who grew up in church their entire life, I mean, there was not a moment in my life where my family was not consistently in church. So I was in church nearly every week. And in many revival services and many of these different things. I was in a Christian school as well, and I mean, now Bible college, all these kinds of things. And I think that sometimes when you grow up in church, you're prone to coast because of the knowledge that you have. So you know the Bible, and so you just kind of, you're not challenged as much as someone who didn't spend all their life in church. And so without having that, more of that challenge, especially in my life, for instance, where I grew up in ministry, surrounded by neighbors who are Christians, around good atmosphere all the time, all those kinds of things, you have that tendency just to kind of coast through because you have the knowledge of the Bible. And we walk around knowing truth, but not necessarily doing truth. And I am a proponent of Christian education. I've talked about this before, this Christian bubble sometimes that we get in where we don't understand and comprehend, my goodness, what's going on in here is just as bad as what's going on out there. It's different as far as the sins go. It may not be drugs and alcohol and immoral lifestyle or whatever it may be, but there's still the sins within this bubble, and they're just as bad in God's eyes as the sins outside of this bubble. And so we kind of coast along saying, well, I know what's right and I know what's wrong. And my youth pastor said, don't listen to this music and don't do these things. And I don't do those things. And so I'm okay. And then I never apply scripture in my life to live the way God wants me to live. Am I a bad person? No. But am I doing what God wants me to do? And a lot of times in the Christian home, not always, please understand, I'm not saying 100% of the time. But a lot of times in the Christian home, because the kid is good, generally speaking, they're still wicked, but you understand what I'm saying, hopefully. Because they're good, they don't do all those bad things that the pastor talks about from the pulpit. They just kind of walk through life thinking they're okay. And what happens is they're not actually always grasping the idea of good judgment. Because their life is, I think rightfully so, sheltered by their parents, and they're helping them make good judgment, but they're not always being forced to make good judgment in their own minds because they are being sheltered and protected, and they should be. I'm not saying they shouldn't be. But then they get out in life, and all of a sudden, they have to make decisions, challenging decisions. And in doing so, poor judgment arises. And the prayer of teach me good judgment and knowledge is a vital prayer in the Christian's life. To be able to understand that we have a need for good judgment, that we need God's help to have good decisions in our lives, to make good decisions in our lives, and to do what God wants us to do. We need a prayer that prays, Lord, teach me good judgment and knowledge. So first of all today, I want us to see to have good judgment and knowledge, you have to believe. It says here in the verse, in verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. When we believe someone, we're willing to listen. I go back to school and I think of college and even a school where I had teachers that I just didn't believe cared about me. Right? They had their agenda and their purpose. And they just didn't care about me. So guess what? I didn't care what they had to say. Now that shows immaturity on my part. I understand that. But with me not believing them, I really didn't care to listen to them. You think of politics. When you see a politician stand up and says, if I'm elected over the next 4 years, I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this. Okay, do you believe them? If you don't, you don't care to listen to them. And in most cases, you don't care to vote for them. How many politicians, and this will depend on how old you are, have promised things and not fulfilled their promises? Well, as long as you've been alive, every one of them. At different levels, maybe, but every one of them. And so you go through and you hear this person talk, and you know, right? You know when someone's trying to get a vote. You know when someone's trying to get a vote. The way they talk, their voice changes, and you can just tell this isn't them. They're saying what they got to say to get my vote. And so if you don't believe them, you're less likely to listen to them. And so we see that throughout life in different ways. But guess what? God is someone, if I can use that term, that we can believe in. And we should believe in. And when you believe God, and you believe God's word, then you want to believe what he says. And that belief translates into action in your life. The psalmist believed God. He believed God's word. He believed God's commandments. He believed God's promises. Do you? When we're saying, Lord, teach me good judgment, it has to be predicated, thank you, with belief. And if we don't believe God, then when we say, God, teach me good judgment, and God gives us good judgment, we're not going to believe it. If I'm asking God for wisdom on a decision that I have to make, a big decision in life, and I say, God, I need your help, I need your wisdom, I need to have good judgment in this decision, and God tells us to do something that wasn't the way we were leaning, do we believe God and follow him? Or do we trust ourselves more? You see, when we're praying for good judgment, you have to be willing to follow through with the answer. Lord, give me good judgment. And God says, here's good judgment. And we go, I was really wanting you to say this. Because God, when I look at it, when I look at my budget, when I look at my schedule, when I look at my situation, when I look at different things, family, when I look at everything else, travel, all these things, this seems to make more sense. And God says, you asked for good judgment, I gave you good judgment, do it. And well, but God, I'm not sure if you saw this. I'm not sure if you understand the situation. I'm not sure if you realized what I would be gaining in this decision if I went this way. And God says, you need to do this. This is the right thing. This is the good thing. Okay, well, do you believe God? See, if you don't believe God before you pray, Lord, teach me good judgment, then you're probably not going to follow God when God gives you good judgment. When you believe something, it's proved by your actions. When you believe something, it's proved by your actions. Because your belief gets translated into actions. It really fits along with the where the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The same is true with belief. What you believe is what you ultimately do. So if you believe God, then you do the things God tells you to do. If you don't believe God, then you do the things that you want to do because you believe in yourself more than God. It has to start with belief. And here, the commandments are believed, he says in verse 66. I believe thy commandments, meaning that I believe the promises that you made, that what you said would happen if I obeyed you. If you love me, keep my commandments. And ultimately, the love of the Father will be in you also, if you keep the commandments the same way that Christ kept the commandments of his Father. And so to understand here that my belief is translated into action one way or the other, but if I believe God, we'll see the action as a result of it. People, Christians, okay, I'm not just talking about the world, I'm talking about Christians. Christians who believe God, not saying that they believe that God is true and that believe that God is real and all those sorts of things. I'm saying that they believe that God will do what he says he'll do, that God's way is the best way. Christians who believe that, you see it in their life. But so many Christians know who God is, have trusted in Christ to save them, yet don't believe that his way is best when it comes to important decisions in their lives. And they follow their own thoughts and their own minds versus believing God to do what is right. So we have to believe. Secondly, we have to be humble. If we're going to say, Lord, teach me good judgment, we have to pray this as a prayer of humility. It takes humility to say, I need to know what you want me to do so that I can follow it. The Bible says in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The Bible consistently teaches us the importance of lowering ourselves in order to submit and follow God. John the Baptist preached that he, God, must increase, but it's all in one thought, I must decrease. I have to become lower and make God higher. That's humility. So if I'm going to seek good judgment from God, I have to humble myself to understand that I don't have the good judgment in myself. I need God's leading in it. Now listen, as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach and train. And it's been minimized to Jiminy Cricket, and it's not that. It's not a conscience. It's the Holy Spirit. It's different. There are similarities, sure, but the Holy Spirit will guide and give wisdom and help and understanding as we read and study and pray. The humility has to come to be surrendered to, submissive to what God wants. And if I'm truly going to desire good judgment from God, I have to humble myself to understand that I don't have it within myself to be given good judgment. Now listen, let me put it this way, because I'm not trying to say that we're stupid and that we have no judgment in ourselves, but God has given us and created us and designed us to have a brain that keeps things, understands things, sees things, all that kind of thing. All right? But naturally, I put myself above other people. It's natural in all of us. Now, some people are self, you know, where they just sit there and they, oh, I'm so small and I'm no nothing and I'm whatever, whatever, whatever. But ultimately, in their heart, they think, no, man, like, I know what I'm doing. Okay, but God says, listen, you need to follow my will. We looked at that last week. You need to follow my will. In order to do that, then I've got to humble myself to understand that God knows more than me. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are better than my ways. I need his leading in my life. And so I need to humble myself and ask God for good judgment and knowledge. Bring yourself to a position of need versus a position of know-it-all or a position of self-dependence. Maybe your life was, you were raised in a way where you had to depend on yourself. No one, you felt like no one else had your back. No one else was helping you. You were on your own. And so you had to fight and you had to claw. And this happens a lot in the business world, a lot in just anywhere you're working, where you've got to just trust yourself and just work yourself and all these kinds of things. But listen, with God, it's not that way. Because God's got your back. Because God has your best interest in mind. All right, so I've got to bring myself low and understand it's not about me. It's not about self-dependence. It's about dependence on God. Proverbs 3, one of the most well-known passages in Scripture. The Bible says, Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, everything, all of it, not part of it, not half of it, not three-quarters of it, all of it, okay? Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. So what I can comprehend, what I can see, what I know, no, don't trust on that. Trust on the Lord with everything that you got. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In everything that you do, big decisions, small decisions, daily decisions, long-term decisions, in all thy ways acknowledge him, God, and he shall direct thy paths. He'll give you the direction that you need to go. And verse 7 starts off and says, be not wise in thine own eyes. That's where we fail. We will recite verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. But we stop there. Be not wise in thine own eyes. That's humility. If I'm wise in my own eyes, listen, I've joked about this before, but I've always thought I was the smartest guy. You know, you look in the mirror in the morning, you go, my goodness, God, you did it. Look at that guy. All right? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Now listen, this comes with age to some degree. Ultimately, what it comes with is maturity. It doesn't have to be age. All right? It comes with maturity. I thought I was a lot smarter at 26 than I think I am today. Now, that being said, I am a lot smarter today than I was at 26. But at 26, I thought I had the answers. I thought I knew everything I needed to know. I thought I was good to go. Now at 40, I understand, nope, that's not the case. And that makes me smarter because I can admit that, yeah, I don't know everything. We are so, there's so many things in life, right? I just think about, you know, raising our kids. All right, so back when we had Brett, which we would have been, what, 23, 24, somewhere in that range. And you know as a first-time parent that you don't know everything, and you know that even more the moment you bring your child home. But very quickly into parenting, you find what you like and what you think is good and what you think is right, and then you kind of dig in. And you say, this is the way everyone should do it. And anyone who does it differently, they're not very smart. I mean, yeah, there's a thousand ways to skin a cat, they say. Sorry, Kim. There's a thousand ways to skin a cat. And yeah, I understand that. Yeah, that's true. Sure, there's other ways. But no, the way I'm doing it, it's the smartest way. It's the best way. It's the wisest way. Anybody does it differently, they're just really not that smart. And of course, as a new parent especially, everyone's willing to share their thoughts with you on how they do it and what's the best and all that kind of stuff. You learn a lot. And you go through, but you know, you read the book, so you know what you're doing. And then the older you get and the more you look back and you see things and you start to realize, you know what, I probably could have done that a little differently. It's not that it was wrong. It's just the older you get and the more experienced you get, the more kids you have. We only got two, but the more kids you have, the more you see people around, the more things that you see, the more you realize, you know what, I probably could have done that differently. Or the person who gave me that advice, they weren't as wrong as I thought they were. Or different things like that, right? So we have these things in life that we go through, that we have this, we begin to get staunch. You know, I worked in sales for a short time, and you get this, these people who taught you. We were taught, okay, this is what we were taught. Here's a script. Go into a business and memorize this script. Use the script word for word. Don't stray from it. Use this script. It has worked for years. This is what you got to do. Don't go off on your own. Don't try to be smarter than us. We've been doing this a long time. Use this script. So I memorized the script. And it worked sometimes and it didn't other times and all that kind of stuff. Well, about a year and a half in, I was in a meeting. And they're like, we used to use this script. Don't use it. It doesn't work. I'm going, but you said it's the only thing we were allowed to do. You know, I mean, and there were words in there. I don't remember the script now, but there were words in there that, like, I would never say in my entire life. I would never use that word. Didn't even know what it meant. I mean, you know, it's just kind of like, what are we? No one talks like this. And that was the argument that me and several people made. And they said, no, just use the script. It works. Okay, then. Then a year later, Dad, throw the script away. It's old. You know, it's antique. Don't use it anymore. Well, that's what we were saying a year ago. We, with age and maturity and wisdom and knowledge, we get wiser. But it should help us to see what God says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Because you're never going to be as wise as God. And if you consider yourself to be wise, you're probably the most foolish. It's not that you have to consider yourself ignorant and of no wisdom. That's not what it's saying. But it's when you look at yourself and you go, yep, I'm wiser than everyone else. I've got more wisdom. You know, listen, I've talked to old people, elderly people. Yeah, old people. And they said, and they gave advice. And I just thought to myself, that's not wise. But what do they say? Oh, I've lived more life than you. Okay, well, being old doesn't make you wise. Now, listen, life gives you lessons and you learn things along the way. And sure, an older person has more life wisdom and knowledge and experience. Experience is probably the better word than a young person has. But that doesn't automatically make you wise. Maturity makes you wise. So we need to mature in Scripture. We need to mature in the Lord, and so that we have wisdom. But if you come to the point where you say, I am wise, then you're a fool. You have to humble yourself and seek God for good judgment. Without it, you're missing out. If you don't trust the Lord in all things, if you don't acknowledge God in all things, that's what verse 6 is talking about. When it matches right up here with verse 66, teach me good judgment. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Every single way, every single path, every single decision, acknowledge God. And He'll direct your path. He'll give you good judgment. So what is good judgment? Taste, intelligence, and reason. Good judgment. To have good taste, good intelligence, good reason. Teach me, the prayer here, to discern things that differ, to distinguish between truth and falsehood, to distinguish between good and evil. That's what the prayer is here. Good judgment. Help me to understand right and wrong. The right choice versus the wrong choice. The good choice versus the evil choice. Sometimes it is obvious. One of the preachers that I grew up around always said, you have a brain, you got a Bible, use them. God gives people a brain, and you should use your brain. Is it good to eat apple pie or cow pie? Your brain should tell you apple pie. If it doesn't, you need to go into electrotherapy and shock your brain or something. I don't know. You need to do something. Your brain will tell you apple pie over cow pie. Right? So there is common sense. There is sense that God gives. But there are decisions that need to be made, and we need to acknowledge God in them so that He can teach us to discern right from wrong, true from false. And in today's day and time, that's so crucial. Good judgment. You say, well, I heard an ad on the radio, or I saw something on television, or I saw something on social media that said this. We're getting ready. We're coming into election season. This guy said or believes this. Okay. We need good judgment. We need the Lord's help. Listen, I'm 100% a believer that Christians should vote in America. And I 100% believe that a Christian should pray about who they vote for. I don't think that you should just walk in without prayer and automatically check a box or fill in a box and send it through the system without praying about it first. To just assume that you know what is best. Now listen, this goes back with having a brain and using it. There are some candidates who are clearly against the things of God, and I believe that should be very obvious to us, and I believe that our thought should be is that's wrong. But listen, pray about it still. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. Pray about it still. It's important. And we see this need for discernment, and we're asking God for it. This prayer for good judgment is a request to heighten the spiritual senses, to be more spiritually attuned to what God desires from us. So the physical senses, right? We know this: sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. Spiritually speaking, we need our senses to be alive. And we need God's help to do it. And so a prayer for good judgment is a prayer for God to heighten your spiritual senses. For you to be a spiritual Spider-Man, you know, where he's got the spidey senses. I mean, you want to be aware of everything spiritually. And you need God's help to do it. There are things that you come across in life where your spiritual senses should start tingling. Situations that you shouldn't be in. Conversations that you shouldn't be listening to. Where as soon as you're there, the senses begin to go because your spiritual senses go, hey, this is not good. And we need God's help to give us that judgment, to heighten those things. We need spiritual exercise to heighten those senses. Well, how does God give us good judgment? We can pray, Lord, give me good judgment and knowledge. How does God do this? Well, let me ask you a question to see if you know the answer. So you're allowed to respond, all right? So wake up just a little bit. What is Psalm 119 focused on? The Word of God. All right, so what does Psalm 119 say about the Word of God? Verse 105, the verse that we got our church name from. Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto my path. God's Word shows us the way. It gives us guidance. Verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Now listen, this is important. If you had thousands of gold and silver, would you have any care, any need, I should say, in this world? No. You can pay for everything that you need to pay for. Okay, well, the law of thy mouth, God's word, is better than that. Why? Because it gives us good judgment. Flip back to verse number 2, Psalm 119, verse number 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Keeping his testimonies, keeping God's word. Blessed. Verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart for the purpose that I might not sin against thee. Good judgment. When I have God's word hidden in my heart, memorized, stored, compartmentalized into my heart, that I know it, it'll help me to keep from sinning. Good judgment. God's word gives me good judgment. Verse 103, back towards the other parts of the psalm. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. God's word is sweet. Why? Because it gives good judgment. 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps. Guide me in thy word. Why? So that sin doesn't have dominion over me. Good judgment. I told John yesterday, we were talking at the prayer breakfast, and I said, tomorrow's message, I told him it was on, and I said, I gave him the spoiler, and I said, I could do this sermon in 2 minutes. I said, I'm not going to, but I could. I could do the sermon in 2 minutes. Some of you are going, come on, Pastor. But it could have been done. Okay, how do I have good judgment? What is God going to say when I say, Lord, teach me good judgment? You know what he's going to say? He's going to say, read your Bible. Good judgment is found in Scripture. That's how the Lord teaches you. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit who's going to help and guide you, but the Holy Spirit tells you, read your Bible. And as you read it, I'm going to give you understanding. That is one of the Holy Spirit's primary jobs, if I can use the terminology that way, is to give understanding as we read God's Word. And as we read God's Word, we're going to find good judgment in the decisions that we need to make in life. Do you have marriage questions? The Scripture has the answers. Do you have job questions? The Scriptures has the answers. Do you have parenting questions? Scriptures have the answers. Big decisions? The Scriptures have the answers. Small decisions? You can find it in Scripture. Do you have confrontation that you need wisdom on how to handle? The Scripture has the answers. Do you have someone you need to vote for? The Scripture tells you who. You just pray and read. Lord, teach me good judgment and knowledge. He says, I will. He tells us that he's got all this wisdom and he's willing to give it to you in excess. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, you ask for it, and I'm going to dump a whole bucket on you. Lord, teach me good judgment. Christians know what they're supposed to do. Okay, what's a Christian supposed to do? Christian, if you ask any Christian this, they'll tell you this. What are the three main things a Christian is supposed to do? And it might come in different orders, or they might come up with different ways about it, but it's the same idea. Read my Bible, pray, and go to church. If I do those three things, then I'm grounded, and then I'm maturing in God's Word. Then I'm growing in it. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discerning both good and evil." And what he's talking about there is the maturity. There are Bible basics that a young Christian need to begin to grow and mature. And then there are deeper things, more things in Scripture that need to be given to those who are mature, who can handle it, who can comprehend it, who can understand it, who can study it. And they need those things that are full of age, that's maturity, for the reason to have their senses exercised, so they can discern good and evil. Okay, so how do I get to that point? Well, I've got to be grounded. A Christian cannot mature if they're not praying. A Christian cannot mature if they're not reading Scripture. A Christian cannot mature if they're not learning Scripture. Scripture's not being taught to them. So I pray and I read and I go to church. Now I know everyone who has a pastor telling me you need to go to church, their first thought is, of course he wants me to come to church. Okay, now listen, it doesn't matter what the pastor wants. It matters what God wants. And God wants you to go somewhere where you can hear the Bible taught and you can learn and you can grow. And God wants you to read Scripture. Why? Because he's given it for a purpose. All Scripture has been given for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction. It's there for you. But if you're not reading it, then you're not growing. And if you're not reading it and you say, God, give me good judgment, you know what God's going to say? Read your Bible. The prayer is simple, sure, but it's necessary. And we need it in our own lives. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. It starts with belief. Do you believe God? Do you believe what he says? Okay, that's where it starts. Then you got to humble yourself to understand, I'm not wise in my own eyes. Lord, I am humbling myself to you. I know you know best. So Lord, teach me good judgment and knowledge. And then it's just following through with it. You will not lack good judgment if you faithfully pray and read your Bible and go to church. The Bible says pray without ceasing, so I should be praying constantly. So you got a decision to make, you should already be in prayer. Lord, teach me good judgment. You have a conflict in life, in a relationship or at work or different places, Lord, teach me good judgment. And if you're reading your Bible, listen, my dad used to tell me this. He said, man, I'd be reading in the morning, and I come across a verse, and I think, oh, no, I've told you this before. Oh, no, why did I need this verse today? Right? A verse about patience. Oh, no. Oh, my patience is going to be tried today. Okay, but by reading his word, or reading God's word, he was prepared for what came. And God gave him what he needed to prepare him and to ready him for what was about to come so that he could have good judgment when it came. You see, the Christian life really is simple. Know God's word, do God's word. People will tell you the important things that you need to know is love God and love others. Okay, where do they get that from? Scripture. Before you can love God and love others, you need to read God's word and do God's word. If you read God's word, then you know you're supposed to love God and love others. If you do God's word, then you will love God and love others. But there's a lot more in life than that. Read God's word, do God's word. You'll find good judgment in that. You'll pray faithfully because God's word tells you to. You'll continue to read because God's word tells you to. You will not forsake the assembling together, because God's word tells you to. The Christian who doesn't go to church is a Christian who doesn't read their Bible faithfully. The Christian who, well, a lot of things, as a Christian who doesn't read their Bible faithfully. A Christian who doesn't obey God is a Christian who doesn't read their Bible faithfully. They don't have it. So we should seek good judgment from the Lord. And we should know that I can find good judgment from the Lord by, yes, praying and seeking it, but also by reading God's word and by hearing God's word and by learning God's word, by maturing through God's word. Lord, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Lord, help us today to be Christians who desire your leading in our lives. To know that good judgment comes from you and not from ourselves. Help us to seek you in the situations in life. Lord, help us to faithfully follow and do what you desire for us to do. And God, help us to use the good judgment that you give us, apply it practically into our life, and live a life that you're pleased with. Lord, this morning I pray that if there's someone here that's currently going through a decision-making process, if they haven't already, Lord, I pray that today they would seek you for that judgment, for that decision. So, Lord, direct us in your paths. Draw us to your heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. With heads bowed.